The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret and the crowd was pressing on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you'll be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So similar to last week, we are hearing about God touching the lips of a prophet. Although this time he's using a coal from the heavenly place of worship. But what I'd like to look at is this most unexpected, even contradictory message that God gives to his prophet. In my mind, a prophet's supposed to go tell people about God so they turn their lives around. And here's what he told them to do. Make their minds dull, stop their ears, and shut their eyes, so they can't be healed. I think even Isaiah was a little taken aback because he said, "Well, how long?" And God continued, "Until it's totally destroyed, till nothing's left, and all the people are in exile, and all that remains is a stump." Yeah, you guessed it. Today's going to be another uplifting sermon from Father Jeff. I've really struggled with this text for 40 years because I have never really quite grasped why God would tell a prophet to do this. And then I started thinking, well, how does a prophet make people deaf and blind to God's words? And I realized I do it every week. You just tell them the same thing over and over and over and over and over. And the truer it is, the less likely they want to hear it. Kind of like that Christmas party where your spouse says, "Do you really think 9 donuts was necessary?" And you get mad at them. Right? Has that ever happened? When people tell us what we're supposed to do, and they're right, it makes us less willing to listen. It makes us double down. Because we're hard-headed and hard-hearted. Amen. That's the end of the sermon. But I'm going to continue on for a little bit more for those of you who don't think I'm quite right. When I was a kid, they said, you know, now that we're living in the 1960s, people are starting to get fat because we have all this access to food. And it's turning out being fat's not as good for you as we hoped. Has anybody ever heard that message? We said, well, let's triple the number of fat people then. Inactivity is a bad idea. You know, your grandparents or great-grandparents used to work all day, moving around. They could eat a cow because they're just burning calories. Sitting around all day is a bad idea. So what do we say? Why don't we sit a little more, watch a little more TV? What's the worst that could happen? I've been sitting around doing nothing for years. What could go wrong, like COVID or something? And then we get mad at everybody else. Why don't they give us some special medicine? Why don't they give us some special this and that? Here's the special medicine. Move every day and eat right. What's wrong with your relationships? You know what's wrong with your relationships. What's wrong with our economic system? I'll put it in real simple terms. If you spend more than you make, you're headed for trouble. Well, that's not true. I have all sorts of debt. I'm fine. Until you're not. And then you just don't pay your debt and someone else carries your debt until they're not fine. So all my experience in my life is, yeah, if you tell me what to do, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. So that explains that. God knows that if he keeps reaching out to us, we'll stop our ears and close our eyes and reject him. But he loves us so much, he can't help himself. And everyone who's a parent here knows exactly what I'm talking about. Right? You just keep reaching out. You just keep reaching out. You keep reaching out. And what we know is sometimes when you stop reaching out, it's not just parents in relationships. When you stop reaching out is when people reach back. When people reach back. So now I'm going to remind you that Jesus quotes from Isaiah 6 in every single gospel. And you can go through all four gospels, see how often everything, I mean, there's a few things that are in all four, but not a lot. This is in all four. And it's also in Acts. And Paul quotes it. I don't know. I'm thinking Isaiah 6 might be pretty important for understanding things. And now I'm going to take you on a trip with what catching people is. And you may have never heard this one before. So catching people, I was always taught growing up, meant evangelism. Our job, Jesus said, go out there and get some good bait and pull them into the church. And the better fishermen you are, the better your church is going to do. And that's my understanding of the whole thing until I read something several years ago that made me pause. And so I did a little research on it this week. So the word catch people, the Greek word for catch people, only occurs one other time in the New Testament. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. And there it appears in a sentence which refers to people who are caught by the devil. Those of you keeping track at home, that's not a good thing. So that's the only time it's used. Now, that doesn't mean the whole thing's done, but when you look at the Septuagint, so the Septuagint is when Alexander the Great kind of took over the world, they all started speaking Greek. And a lot of the Jews lost track of Hebrew. They couldn't speak Hebrew anymore, so they're like us. So they needed to translate it. Well, this is before they invented English. And so they had Greek. And so they used Greek and they wrote the Bible in Greek. It's called the Septuagint. You can find words in the Septuagint that are in the New Testament. And so you look up this word, catch, in the Septuagint. And the primary way it's used is to refer to prisoners who are about to be executed. Well, that's not pleasant. But the prophets talk about being caught, so I'm sure that's going to be better. So here's what Amos, the first guy to use it, said. He tells the northern kingdom, what's called Israel, that Assyria is coming to drag them off with fish hooks. Do you see a connection between the word fish hook and people who are fishermen? Then Jeremiah and his contemporary Habakkuk each use the comparison of Judah to fish and says the Babylonians are going to come and drag you off with hooks and nets. Did the word net appear at any point during the gospel? And then last but not least, Ezekiel, during the actual time they're in exile, is giving the good news to other people, including Egypt, to whom he says that this is going to happen to them. Now, I'm going to tell you all the times in the Bible the word catching people is used in a positive sense. Well, that about sums it up. So what's going on here with Jesus? Have you ever looked at the list of the 12 apostles? Like the front end's pretty good. You know, Peter, Andrew, our guy Andrew, James and John. Then you get toward the end and they start having names. It's like, well, wait, that name's not in the other list. So we said, they had two names. His name was Barney and Charlie, right? And there's a part of you thinks, well, why don't they keep the same names? What's going on with the names? And then sometimes you wonder, did they not remember the names? Is that possible they didn't remember the names? I hope so, because I can never remember anyone's name, so that would make me feel happy. But really, you know what they remembered? The number 12. Because the number 12 refers to the stump. Now we're back in Isaiah. Jesus is declaring to them, there's a new Israel coming, and it's just going to be a remnant. And catching people refers generally, and it's not saying that the apostles are going to catch them and drag them off. It's you're going to be a sign of what's coming. And guess what happened in 70 AD? Rome came, destroyed everything, and drug them off. So here is what this means for us. God loves you more than you can possibly ever imagine. God made you for the sole purpose of being his child. And as every parent in here knows, you cannot save your children unless they want to be saved. And beginning in Genesis chapter 6, I think, all the way to Jesus crying in Jerusalem, God's heart is broken by the fact he says, I love you so much. And he keeps saying it over and over and over until the point where it's just blah, blah, blah to us. Because we're busy living our lives. And God will not force us into a relationship. And when we leave God behind, bad things happen. Jeremiah, fall of the temple. Jesus, the fall of the temple. Today, well, take a guess what's fallen. So here's the gospel message for you today. God loves you very much. You need to open your ears and open your eyes and open your heart and repent and believe and live in relationship with him. Because in my opinion, I may be wrong, but in my opinion, the time is getting really short. But don't forget he loves you. He's not going to punish you. You're going to ruin yourself. That's the point. We would ruin ourselves.